Philippians 4:4. This should be memorized by now. And you should be hearing this in your sleep right by now. Especially if you're absorbing this, like we just read in Proverbs 3. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. We got to capture that. Delight, gladden yourselves in Him. This is something all of us can do if you know Christ. This is something we're supposed to do. This is not a suggestion. This is a way of life. Paul's telling us, and you're going to see the stuff he went through. This is the way he not just survived, he thrived. This is the same for us. Rejoice in the Lord always. I don't care what you're going through, what's happened, how bad, mad, or sad it is. I want to tell you, Jesus is greater than what you're facing. No matter what we're going through, whether you understand or not, He hasn't changed. He's still the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and He's still worthy of our praise and thanksgiving. And I want to tell you, when we practice praise and spiritual exercise produces much. The Bible says physical exercise benefits little, but spiritual exercise benefits much. This causes you to receive the much. Delight, gladden yourselves in Him. Now, if I was to tell Pastor James, he's got this great looking shirt on, and if he was quite a bit larger, I'd try to wear it, but he's got a great shirt on today. If I were to tell him, Pastor James, always wear that shirt. It's a key to your victory. Always wear that shirt. Now, if he were to kind of wake up and come to the place where he realized the shirt was not on, then he need to delight and gladden himself in that shirt, which means he needs to, soon as possible, ASAP, like immediate, he need to put that shirt back on to walk in his victory. If that was the instruction. Okay? Now for him to take the shirt off and say, I'll just put it on when I go to church. Okay? He's going to miss out on a lot of what God has if that's the instruction. Always wear the shirt. So, James, always wear the shirt. And if you find yourself without the shirt, as soon as possible, get the shirt back on, because it says, again, I say, wear the shirt. Rejoice. Can it get any more plainer than that? Because I want to tell you, that's important. If you find yourself not rejoicing, practice putting it on. Practice putting it on. Okay? Hey, it's your garment of praise. He's given us a garment of praise. Taken off the shirt of heaviness. And He's put on us the shirt of praise. And so I want to tell you, practice praise. If you find yourself with it off, put on the garment of praise and begin to celebrate. So, you understand how easy this is put? And again, I say rejoice. That's putting on the garment of praise. All right, well, that was important to me. I'm glad it touched you too. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. We'll kick off with verse 15. For all these things are taking place, all the stuff is taking place for your sake. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For all these things that are taking place for your sake. I want to tell you, it's for your sake. Now I want to tell you, you say, no. These disturbances, these tests and trials and tribulations, they can't be for my sake. I want to tell you how good God is. He's promised that He will work in the background. He will work it out for your good and His glory. All right? Our part's to rejoice and to follow Him. Okay? He will work it out for your good and His glory. So that the more grace, okay, He wants us, He will take the junk the enemy brings, and He will so work it out for your good that He will cause you to walk in the more of Him. Anybody hungry for the more of Him? There should be. If your spirit, soul is healthy, you want more of Him. You want to walk in more of Him. Okay? And so, that the more grace Divine favor, spiritual blessing, extends to more and more people and multiplies through the many. All right? Do you get that? Okay. See, it's not just about you. If we could convince people that the stuff you go through every week is not just for you. I want to tell you, there's a part of us that would think, well, it's just me and so what. No, no. But you know what? You would fight for somebody else. I've had little women that would say, you know, I just couldn't do something violent to defend myself. And I can turn around and tell them, but would you do it for your babies? Well, yes, I would. The mama bear would show up. And I want to tell you something, okay? What we go through is not just for us. You say, well, it seems to be personal, it seems to be private. No, it's not. Heaven's looking. And I want to tell you something else. People are looking. And I want to tell you, when you go through stuff and you honor the Lord and you praise the Lord and you receive the grace of the Lord, grace is J-E-S-U-S, and you're receiving from Him, then I want to tell you, it's touching more and more people. Okay? And it multiplies through the many. And you know what the result is? Thanksgiving may increase to the glory of God. He loves thanksgiving. So what you're going through, you give thanks for, and you will cause other people to give thanks, and that brings them honor and glory. Somebody say amen. It multiplies, increases, it's for the glory of God. It's not for you. Well, it is for you, but it's not just for you. It's for the glory of God. Verse 16 says this. Verse 16 says, therefore do not become discouraged. Now, that's one of the major challenges right there. Okay, so we're going through this stuff, and especially if you look at it through human eyes, you're going to say it's not worth it. Tired of this. Don't want this. But when you look at it through heaven's eyes, and praise and thanksgiving helps you do that, but when you look at it through the eyes of heaven and you see through the Word of God that it's not just about you, you're not just fighting a fight for you, you're fighting a fight for people that can't fight for themselves. You're fighting a fight for others. You're causing others to gain the momentum in the Lord. Now, Cedric was a great ball player, played for the University of Texas. He knows the power of what happens when momentum shows up in a game on your side. This is what happens in the spiritual realm. When you're pressing through to the Lord, praise and thanksgiving, receiving peace, joy, and love, you're practicing the rest of the Lord, you receive the victory of the Lord. Your victory is not just for you, it's for others. And I want to tell you, that's what happens in the spiritual realm when momentum shows up. There is a spiritual momentum. And it's not just for you, it's for others. Hey, don't be discouraged. I know we get tired. I know we get exhausted. When you get exhausted, refresh and renew yourself in the Lord. Praise and thanksgiving. Rejoice. Okay? Don't let fear, okay, show up. When fear shows up, you practice the peace, joy, and love, and you send it on down the road, because fear will drain you. Okay? All the what-ifs will drain you. Okay? The whispering in the ear of fear and anxiety and worry will drain the strength out of you. Do you see it right there? Don't be wearied out through fear. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day by day. I want to tell you what you see on the outside. What you see on the outside is that, man, these battles are having an effect on me. But I want to tell you, we're not left there. Amen. Don't let that be the final word, because it's not the final word right here. We understand and see that with the physical eye, this kind of stuff has effect. But you look with the spiritual eye, because the spiritual eye says this, let your inner self. Now, how are you going to do that? From the spirit to the soul. That's where Jesus ministers first. Let him minister life on the inside so you can receive and walk in life on the outside. Somebody say amen. That's the way Jesus works. He wants to work on your inside. And so we are receiving the grace, the peace, joy, and love of the Lord. And we're walking in the peace, joy, and love of the Lord. And our inner self is progressively, that means growing. That means growing. Hey, I hope that you're receiving great levels of Jesus this year. But I want to tell you something. Come next year, you need to be walking in greater levels. Greater levels. And so that's important. And this is what he wants. This is the way he designed it. Paul's trying to tell this to us, that our inner self is being renewed day by day. And all the people said.
Amen.
That gets us to verse 17, which is where I've been trying to get. So with the understanding of that, that'll help you understand verse 17. So verse 17 is, because of this, for our light and momentary affliction. He says, he calls it light and he calls it temporary. Okay, you say, well, I wouldn't call mine that. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. And that's what we ought to say. Let's get in line with what God says about it. This is temporary. And this is light. Because the slight distress of the passing hour is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us. Somebody say, for my good and his glory. That's what God will do. An everlasting weight of glory. Now I want to tell you the best way for me to try to explain the everlasting weight of glory is the manifestation of Jesus in your life. Anybody interested in that? I want to tell you, the Lord wants to manifest himself in your life in greater and greater ways. That's what he desires. That's what he wants. Look what the Amplified brings out. Beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and calculations. Wow. That's a holy wow right there. A vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. Wow. Now, I want to tell you, it would take me way too long to try to even describe that. But I want to tell you, this is what happens. When stuff comes, there's an opportunity. Every time stuff comes, it's an opportunity for you to witness and to see the grace and the truth of Jesus manifested in your life. And when it's manifested in your life, it touches other people's lives, and it brings God honor and glory. But I'm here to tell you this, that he will use this situation. Now, I didn't say he sent it, but he will use it when you submit and yield to him. Hey, he will take it and use it. He will grow you. He will develop you. He'll cause you to know him better. And he will catapult you into realms of glory that you've never seen before. Wow. This is what Paul is talking about. Okay? This is for us. Now, this is why he could say in another place, that I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. And sometimes when you look at that with the human eye, you say, what? You want suffering? No, he's not saying he wants suffering, but I'll tell you what. He went through a lot of suffering, and he knew. When you surrender your heart, when you practice receiving the rest of the Lord, the grace and the peace, the joy and the love of the Lord, in the midst of it, you will see realms of his glory. You'll see levels of the glory of Jesus that you've never seen before. And so that's what he's talking about. His eye is not on the suffering. His eye is on the fellowship. The interaction with Jesus that comes when you put your eyes on him through the storm. That's Jesus. No man can do that for you. That's absolutely Jesus. And so that's what he wants to do. Now, Philippians 4:9 says for us to practice so we can receive it. Now, what do we practice? We're practicing what we've learned, what we received, and what we've heard. Okay? So that we can walk with the God of peace. We can walk with the manifestation of peace and not walk in troubling disturbance, but we'll walk in peace to a well-being, and that it'll be personally with us. Now, what are we practicing? We're practicing verse 4 through 8. 4 through 8 goes like this. Verse 4 is to rejoice. We've covered that a lot. Verse 5 is to let your life shine of the fruit of the Spirit. Let people see the character of God, the virtue of God in you. Don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. Okay? Verse 6, no anxiety. Okay? Don't let anxiety or fear or worry camp out. Because when worry comes, fear and anxiety comes, then I want to tell you, it's like we turn the valve, okay, and we quit receiving the joy and the peace and the love of the Lord. And so it's important for us to be focused and not let anxiety park. Okay? The next verse, verse 7, is that this shows us that peace is Jesus. And when we choose peace, joy, and love of Jesus over worry and anxiety and fear, we receive peace. In verse 7, God's peace is spelled like this, J-E-S-U-S. And it's a type of peace where He guards our mind and He guards our heart. And it's beautiful how He does it. Our part is to choose peace, joy, and love, to practice receiving it. And His part is to mount garrison around about your mind. He produces peace. We don't produce peace. We receive peace. Peace is a person. His name is Jesus. That's the manifestation of Jesus. Wow. That's something man can't give you. It's something man can't explain. Okay? And so we come to 2 Corinthians 11. And Paul is doing something. He's preaching a different style here. He's using a different method. And it's because of the fakes in the ministry. And he's warning people about the fakes in the ministry. And there was fakes in the ministry in the early church. There are fakes in the ministry in the modern day church. There'll be fakes in the ministry in the latter day church. Okay, fakes are around us because the enemy's around. The enemy's a liar. And fakes are liars, and they are of the father of lies. They're connected to the father of lies. So I want to tell you, I don't like it, but it's true. This is what he describes about fakes. They promote themselves. Okay? They're bragging on themselves. They're declaring that they're more qualified than other people. And so everybody needs to follow them or to listen to them. They will take advantage of the saints, especially financially. They will promote works as the key to success and not grace. All right? And so they also get people to focus on the temporal, that it's all about now. And it's all about themselves. And so that's dangerous. Okay? And Paul brings those things out. And then he says that this is an interesting thing. Is that, you need to observe their lives because they don't glorify God through the junk. Okay. I want to tell you, when people praise and give thanks and rejoice always in all things, okay, and they give God praise and they practice receiving peace, joy, and love, and they honor the Lord through it all, I want to tell you, there's some seasoning there that fakes don't have. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I want to tell you, because there's some virtue. There's some character of Jesus in their life. They've walked with Jesus through the stuff. Hey, they've been to hell and back a few times. And they're still holding on to Jesus. And they're still praising Jesus. And I want to tell you, when seasoning walks into a room, it's kingdom. It's real. There's some depth to it. There's some seasoning in that person's life. And you know what? You need to receive from them. Okay? The fakes haven't been through the stuff. Okay? And when they do go through the stuff, they don't praise and they don't thanks. They disappear. And we see that happen. No, we don't name names and stuff like that. I'm just trying to share with you what Paul was saying. They talk the talk, but what he's saying in this example, if I was to share like they share, he said, I would let you know that I don't just talk the talk, I walk the walk. And this is what he's saying. Are they ministering servants of Christ the Messiah? Question mark. I know I'm talking like one beside myself. I don't normally talk this way. But just to expose the way they do it, I'm going to share with you some truth. I am more and with far more extensive and abundant labors, with far more imprisonments, beaten with countless stripes, frequently at the point of death. Okay. When it comes down to that, the fakes bail out and leave. They don't feel led. They feel a different kind of led. 5 times I received from the hands of the Jews 40 lashes, all but one. 39 lashes, five different times. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Because being stoned is a death sentence. Okay? That wasn't punishment, that was death. That was a death sentence when they stoned you. Okay. 3 times I've been aboard a ship wrecked at sea. A whole night and a day I spent adrift on the deep. And you say, well, he loved to go fishing or sailing. No, this was for the cause of Jesus. Big difference. For the cause of Jesus. Many times on journeys, exposed to perils from rivers, perils from bandits, perils from my own nation, perils from the Gentiles, perils in the cities, perils in the desert places, perils in the sea, perils from those opposing as believers. This is the ones that he was talking about. But they were destitute of Christian knowledge and piety. In other words, they did not know God. They had human knowledge, head knowledge, but they didn't have the type of knowledge that God wants people to have. God wants you to have heart experiential knowledge with him. Okay? When we talk about, when the Bible talks about knowing God, it's not talking about information. Okay? It's the same word that's used, husband and wife intimacy. He wants heart-to-heart knowledge. Do you know God in that way? See, he wants you to know him experientially. Amen. And not just with some head knowledge. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay. And toil and hardship, verse 27, watching often through sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, frequently driven to fasting by want and cold and exposure and lack of clothing. And besides those things that are without, there is the daily inescapable pressure of my care and anxiety for all the churches. Okay? Now, whips, rods, prison, shipwreck, death, stoned. Let's go back to stone right quick. We see that in Acts 14:20. He was being sentenced because he was doing something right, because he was preaching in the name of Jesus. And so the local authorities gathered around and were so agitated that they decided to kill him. And when they decided to kill you, one of the main ways that was done was by stoning. And so they would get a group together and they would throw stones at you until they killed you. Okay? It's not just throwing a rock at you while you're running off. No, no, no. They got you down. They stoned you. They threw rocks at you. They killed you. Okay? And so this is what they did with Paul. And verse 20 says this, so after they had left and after the crowd had left, and Paul's there under the stones, and he's not moving, according to the people that left, he wasn't breathing, because they wouldn't stop until it was finished. This was death sentence. The disciples formed a circle around about him. Now what do you think they were doing? Exactly. What do you think they were praying? Exactly. Thank you for being people of the word, people of faith. They weren't gathered around in a circle saying, no, no, no. I think it went something like this. Jesus is our resurrection power. Jesus heals sicknesses and disease, and he raises people from the dead. Master, we need him. Master, we want him. We need him. Lord, it's to our benefit that he hang around a little longer. And so I think they gathered around. I think they began to rejoice. What? I think they began to rejoice, to give thanks, to praise the Lord. And I think someone spoke, or they spoke in agreement and said, death, we rebuke you. Paul, get back in your body. In Jesus' name, get up. And he did. And not only did he get up, you say, well, he was just knocked out and he was unconscious. Well, I want to tell you, if you had had so many stones that the people that were stoning you, putting the death sentence on you, were killing you, that they left you for dead, you would be hurting. I want to tell you how raised up he was. If you want to argue about, well, was he dead or not, it don't bother me because it was a miracle either way. It doesn't change the Bible. It doesn't change Jesus. Okay? But I want to tell you something. He was so healed after being left for dead, that the next day he walked 20 miles to preach the gospel. I say God raised him up. Either way, he had more severe problems than you have. I'm not being mean. I'm not being insensitive. He calls them a light affliction. You see, it's not about how overwhelming your situation is. I want you to listen to this very carefully. Your affliction is not the most important element. Okay? How you respond to the trouble, trials, is the most important element. See, you're the one who chooses life or death. Okay? To surrender and submit to God and resist the enemy and to give thanks, that's we choosing God. We're choosing the Lord. And so how you respond is very, very important. We're the ones that turns the valve. Hey, life or death? Grace, peace, joy, and love? Or worry, anxiety, and fear? We're the one that turns the valve. It's not by our works. It's not something in our flesh. We're willing it to happen. It's not that. It's by grace through faith. Okay? It comes down to this. Are you going to esteem the Lord? Or are you going to esteem the problem? I want to tell you, the precious brothers and probably sisters too that were gathered around him in a circle, they had an opportunity to esteem the Lord or magnify the problem. I want to tell you what they did. I can just say this. They esteemed the Lord. Okay? Now, this is our choice. This is something we can do. I don't like criticism. But I want to tell you, criticism, and if you love the Lord, you're going to get criticism. Okay. Well, you know, I nearly got knocked down on that one. That's true. All that live godly will suffer some persecution. And so, if you love the Lord, you're going to get criticism. I dare you to love the Lord enough, okay, that you get criticism. But I don't like it. I don't know anybody. Somebody would say they love it. Something's wrong with them. Matter of fact, our president is the only one that I know of that seems to feed off of it. They'd have done hurt my feelings so bad, I'd have left. I'd have told them, similar to what Davy Crockett said, I'd have said, well, I'd have changed it. I'd have said, you can all go to heaven, I'm going to Texas. But he seemed to feed off of it. But I want to tell you, here's the key. Whose opinion are you going to value the most? What God says about you or what criticism says about you? What are you going to esteem? If you're going to esteem criticism, guess where that puts you? Okay? If you're going to esteem what the Lord says about you, where does that put you? That puts you in some peace, joy, and love. And it's very important that you understand we need to get to the place that we're so focused and we give such allegiance to the love of the Lord and letting Him love on us and the acceptance of the Lord, that rejection from others is no big deal. Amen. Hey, a number of years ago, 2004, I went through a divorce. And I want to tell you, divorce, I hate divorce. God hates divorce. I don't think divorce is ever good, but I want to tell you something. You know, it's damaging. And I actually thought it was going to kill me. But I want to tell you something. In that, and I had people tell me, you know, you're finished with the pulpit. You're disqualified from ever ministering from the pulpit. You need to just quit and go do something else. I had some of my own staff say, man, you need to get out of here for a year. Go take a sabbatical. Come back after a year. And but, you know, this is where you got to press in and hear the Lord. Because, you know, there was all kind of advice, all kind of criticism coming. But, you know, it went something like this. The Lord's whisper to me was to keep on keeping on. Is to put my focus on Him and press on in. Press toward the future. Now, I want to tell you, it was really a tough deal because, but you know what helped me? Is that I was ministering two or three times a week. I had a whole day, because I had people on that was full-time. I had a whole day that was dedicated to counseling, where I saw between six and eight people on that day, back-to-back. And I want to tell you, there's an accountability that comes when you're fixing to minister. And I would not trust my heart to minister one-on-one or with a group if my heart was in disturbance. And so, I'm sharing with you, I made the decision, I had the choice Felt like I didn't have a choice if I was going to minister life, that I had to press into the Lord every time before I ministered individually or in front of a group. Now, when you're ministering that much every week, I want to tell you, you have opportunities to press into the Lord. Okay? So, look, it's not that I'm Superman or something, because, man, Tim Heath could tell you, because he helped walk me through it. I was a mess for about 6 months. I was a mess. Okay? I was being emotionally tortured for about 6 months. It was a continual emotional torture. And you don't know the times that before I would step out into the office to receive someone for counseling, that I would have to go press in and cry out to the Lord and practice praise and thanksgiving to receive victory over the anxiety and the fear and the worry and the disturbance of the heart. I had to practice receiving peace. And for 6 months, I had to practice it sometimes every day, sometimes every hour, sometimes every minute. I can't tell you how many times during the middle of the night I'd be up on my face before God, putting tears on the carpet, because you know what? I had to receive peace. But I want to tell you, He's faithful and true. And when you seek, you'll find. And when you choose Him and practice thanksgiving, then I want to tell you, here's the deal. I didn't take off one Sunday during all that time. Now, hey, there was times that even minutes before I got in a pulpit, I was in my office practicing receiving peace. Getting rid of the junk and receiving peace. One of the big things that had to come is that I had to go from being mad at people, okay, to being mad at the enemy. Now, I want to tell you, I'm just going to say this real quickly because I don't have time to preach on this. But you know, Moses married a woman of a different race. And everybody considered it their business, and they didn't like it. They took a vote and didn't like it. Now, I want to tell you, you know what? God voted for Moses. Okay? Now, I want to tell you, they made a big deal out of something God didn't consider as important as they did. Okay? But here's the thing. We need a major on a major and minor on the minors. And I want to tell you, I got a new perspective. Because I actually had, part of the torment was I thought, man, if my wife leaves me, I'm done. I've dishonored the body of Christ because I was told that, you know. And I'll tell you what, divorce does that. But I want to tell you that, you know, the thoughts were coming, what people were saying, I'm finished, I'm done, and all this. But I want to tell you something. It's important for you to hear the voice of God. Amen. Okay? And the Lord will give you a direction. And the Lord will give you a vision of what He wants for you. And you need to seek Him and receive that. He wants you to have it. But it goes something like this, that I, you know, hey, even with Moses' wife, and I've shared with you, Wesley had, his wife was like demonized, had clothes, and she's just a demon with clothes on, and she was such a disturbing, you know what, he never stopped ministering. Okay? I'm not devaluing marriage. But what I'm saying is this, is that, you know what, I would have never survived it if I didn't love Jesus more than my mate. The beautiful blonde and I, she's such a gift from God. But I want to tell you, we've had these discussions. You know, I love Jesus more than you. And I want to tell you, I'm just stating this. I'm not devaluing marriage because I am so in love. And, people sometimes, you know, God help people. But sometimes people would whisper things. You know, we don't really see her as a pastor's wife. Yeah. And, you know, she's really a sad person. Well, I want to tell you, I'm so glad God proved Himself right. Amen. And proved all of them wrong. Okay? But let me tell you something. I'm just going to say this. I don't mean harm with this. She knows I don't. But you know what? If she goes to heaven, I'm pursuing Jesus with all I got. Okay? Lord forbid. But if she goes to the dark side or finds a handsome cowboy out there that's rich and skinny or something, I want to tell you, Lord forbid, but if she goes there, I'm pursuing Jesus with all I got. Because I want to tell you, I have a greater allegiance to Jesus than I do my mate. You say, Brother Tim, that don't sound right. I'm going to tell you something. If you love Jesus more than your mate, it makes you a better mate. Because you won't be looking at self, you'll be looking at Jesus, and you'll be blessing them with the love of Jesus. You'll be loving Jesus. You'll be loving them like Jesus is loving you. That's a big difference. Okay? That way, when she says, gets in the car and says, "Where are we going for lunch?" you don't have to grit your teeth and fight for what you want. You can say, "Mexican food." And smile about it. And enjoy it. Look, when God's your first mate, okay, you're better to your family, you're better to your kids. You know what? I want to tell you, it was like I didn't have a choice, but you know I did, is that I continued to rejoice. I practiced this. And I'm telling you, it worked for me. I went through 6 months of torture, but I'm telling you, sometimes minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, I had to practice this. Okay? Did I do it perfectly? No. Tim could tell you I did not do it perfectly. I had one brother that loved me enough to look me right in the eye and say, "Pastor Tim Hall, I'm going to say this to you one time. You're going to be miserable. That's fact. You're going to be miserable. But you're going to be miserable, and you're either going to get better or you're going to get bitter. You're the one that chooses that." Is anyone listening? Okay, it was a tough season. But I'll tell you what happened. I'm not saying I didn't grieve. I didn't say I wasn't broken. But I want to tell you, I grabbed hold of Jesus with everything I had. And I saturated myself in the Word and in prayer. And I had a few folks stand by me that I'll forever be thankful for. But I'm saying to you, Paul, what Paul said, you can rejoice through junk. Amen. He's present. Peace, joy, and love is in you. Receive it. Walk it out. I had a wife that took a ring off, but I got a God that won't take his tattoo of me off. Amen. Do you see that? Behold, I have an indelibly imprinted. Let me tell you what it means, though. I can't hardly say it, but I know what it means. It means something that won't be erased. Come on! Boy, hey, he's got a tattoo of you on his arm, on each of his hands, and it will not be blotted out. It won't be erased. Well, that was good for me. Tattooed a picture of you on the palm of each of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Hebrews 13:15. And I want to tell you, he does say, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." That ought to minister to somebody. But Hebrews 13:15 says this: through him. Through who? Him. J-E-S-U-S. And this is not doing it on your own strength. This is not pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's resting and relying and receiving on Jesus. Praise and thanksgiving is a part of that. Receive the strength of the inner life. Through him, therefore, let us constantly in all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. There it is. And so, don't talk about the problems. You can rebuke and renounce the problems. If you focus on the problems, you're going to be a victim. Okay? You got to talk about the promises. You got to focus on Jesus. You focus on the promises, then you receive Jesus as your victory. The enemy is a deceiver. I got to take a time out and talk to you about something that's very fresh. You see how fresh it is. That means the blonde hadn't got this yet. And this is really going to come out in the healing series that we're going to start in a few weeks. I know I've said that before. It's coming. It's about battle. It's about battle. Hey, love life with the Lord, love life with humans, the love life of the Lord with humans, okay? And it's about battle, okay? This is a battlefield. This is not heaven. We tend to live like there is no battle. We tend to live like there's no battle, that we're not in a battle. We are in a battle. I'm going to say it to you like this. Be violent about your victory. Amen. Be violent about your victory. I came to a place during that period of 6 months that I personally came to a place where I hated emotional torture. I came to a place where I said, enough's enough. I'm sick and tired of emotional torture. And so I'm going to press through to the Lord. I'm going to practice the rest, the receiving of peace, joy, and love until I get it. Now, I would receive it moment by moment, sometimes hour by hour, but I had to practice receiving it until, you know what, it was a settled, done deal. Okay? And one of the ways that that happened was for me not to be mad at humans, but to be mad at the enemy. Okay? Because we don't deal with flesh and blood. Our enemy is of a spiritual nature. It's the enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so it's very, very important. Now look, the enemy, and listen, I'm asking you to come to the place where enough's enough. Hate emotional torture. You know what I'm saying, emotional torture. Hate it. You say, Brother Tim, you're preaching hate? Hey, Bible says if you love God, you hate sin. One of the ways you prove you love God is you hate sin. Well, hate the results of sin. Hate the results, the fruit of sin. And this mental torture is not from God, it's from the enemy. We need to hate it as much as we hate sin. Are you with me? So the enemy is a liar, he's a deceiver, he's a coward. He acts like a big bully. And I'm going to say something to you that you may understand about bullies. A bully will look at you to see if you got fight in you. Or if you got quit. If you got quit in you, he got you. He can smell it. If you got quit in you, he can smell it. If you got fight in you, he sees it and he ends up saying, isn't that such a big a deal? I don't need to do that today. Huh? Okay. I'm telling you, the enemy, he's a coward. He's been practicing this for thousands of years. He can look at you to see if you know your authority in Christ or if you have quit in you. Okay? And so, when we tolerate or compromise on something, I want to tell you, God will allow it. He will allow what we put up with. But be advised. Let it be known. Forever true from the Word of God. He's paid the price for our victory. The enemy is already defeated. And he wants us to agree with him and the victory of the cross. And to violently reinforce our victory. Amen. So, don't beg God for victory. This is in the prayer series. But don't beg God for victory. He's already won it. Okay? Give thanks to the Lord. Take authority over the liar and the deceiver and the enemy and the coward, the bully. And tell him to go. Rebuke him. Take authority over it. Emotional torture coming. I renounce you in the name of Jesus. I put my mind on Jesus and he's promised to put me in perfect peace. If I put my eye on him, my mind on him, I focus on. I'm practicing thanksgiving. Hallelujah to the Lord. In spite of all this, I love Jesus. I submit to the Lord. I receive from the, you understand what I'm saying? Yes. And you tell the enemy where to go. Amen. Disturbance, fear, anxiety. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. I choose life. I plead the blood. Now I want to tell you about five years ago, I went through what we call the year of pain. It was actually 18 months. Two surgeries. Lonnie, you know what I'm talking about. Two surgeries on shoulders and a surgery on my leg. Three surgeries in 18 months. I call it the year of pain because I was in so much pain, gritting my teeth for 18 months. The dentist says I cracked my teeth. My teeth have cracks in them. Well, I'm trusting that to be healed too. But here's the deal. I don't know why it took me 18 months of pain, but I got mad. Listen, I got mad about pain. I got mad about sickness and disease. I got mad enough, okay, to start reaching out to the Lord and grabbing hold, pressing into the Lord and receiving the peace, joy, and love and the grace. And I want to tell you, revelation for healing. And I want to tell you what it did. It made me mad enough to pursue a journey. Because this is what I said about the 6 months of emotional torture. I said, I can't live the rest of my life this way. Amen. You know what I said about the 18 months of pain? I can't live the rest of my life this way and be effective for the kingdom in any way. Do you understand? Okay. I'm just telling you, maybe it's time to get mad at the devil. I'm not saying get mad at God. That's not going anywhere. It's not him. He didn't put sickness on you. He didn't put divorce on you. Okay? That's not God. Get mad at the devil, not at God. Don't get mad at people. I know that the enemy uses people, but it comes down like what happened with Joseph. What people meant for evil, God will mend for good. God will turn it for good. It's God does it. Okay? And so our answer is to look to the Lord and develop a holy anger. You say, Brother Tim, you're kind of getting off on... Okay, well, just let me appeal to you about this. What's blocking your healing? I'm speaking this to myself. What's blocking my healing? If Jesus paid for our sin on the cross, but he couldn't pay for our suffering... He couldn't pay for our sickness or our diseases. No. Isaiah 53 says he did do that. Our infirmities were cast upon him. Our sorrows were put upon him. Man, that covers some emotional brokenness right there. Okay? Hey, it says our infirmities were put upon him. Hey, so Jesus paid for our sin, but he can't rescue us from our sorrows? No, he can. He did. He rescues us from our sickness and disease. Yes, he did. It's already done. Now, our part is to learn how to receive it. But I'm telling you, there's an ingredient in the body of Christ. I know because I saw it in me. Passive. We're just being passive about it. Oh. Huh? No, I'm sharing that with you because I've been there. Well, I didn't choose this. This is no. The enemy chose it. The enemy attacked you with it. But it's time to get a holy mad about it. Hey, it's called righteous indignation. It means you get mad at what the enemy's doing, and you get thankful for what Jesus has done, and we practice receiving it. Okay, we got to have a battle mindset. And on top of all that, because over the last 4 years, it's not that I haven't been hit with stuff, and I've still got stuff that need to be healed, especially on the inside here. I got stuff that need healing. I could line up cardiologists and doctors to tell you that, you know, I still need healing. And you know what? I'm believing God for that. But I want to tell you, I've left the line of scrimmage on this. And I'm just saying to you, okay, because I get hit with stuff. Beautiful blonde get hits with that. Well, we're determined that our house is going to be a house of peace, joy, and love. Our house is going to be a place where people are restored and renewed and where people are healed. We're going to have a health lifestyle at our house. We're believing for that. And, you know, it goes something like this. Over the last 4 years since I got mad about it, been pursuing God about it, I've been learning some stuff. There's a whole lot I haven't learned. I'm going to share with you what I know in just a few weeks. But it goes something like this. In the last 4 years, I've been hit with a lot of stuff, but in 48 hours, been able to kick it out the door. That's why that Dr. Wong can say to me, why haven't you been in here in 4 years? I haven't been sick enough to come. Because 24, 48 hours, we kick it out the door. He said, well, you got to show up every couple years so I can tell them I'm your primary. Okay. I said, we can do that over a cup of tea. Okay. But look, in spite of all that, when I was determined that, Lord, I want to teach the body of Christ about this. And then my grandson comes down with leukemia. Okay. You know what? Hey, it's a real opportunity to get sad. But you know what? It's also an opportunity to get mad. Okay? Because I want to tell you, His name is above every name. Now I want to tell you, this is either real or it's true or it's a lie. I'm telling you what Jesus says is true. Do I know how to walk in all of it? No, but you join me. Let's do it together. Okay? And we're going to see God do things. Because He loves to do things. He loves to set people free. He came to set people free. And so we need to have a heaven perspective. It's not an outward problem. It's our inward response is where it starts. Okay? There are people that come to me for prayer and they say, I just want to be healed so I can get on with my life. Well, Jesus wants your life. Okay? I mean, He may heal you, but it's not going to last for very long if you don't want Him involved in your life. He wants your life. And so He wants the inward response. Okay? And the outward response is healing and health. You saw it in the word that we shared this morning. But we got to have a heaven perspective. God's not limited unless we limit Him. Philippians 4:19 says this, My God will liberally supply your every need. Do you see every need? You think that means inside? Yes. Amen. Thank you for agreeing, because this series was going to get longer. He means inside. Do you think every need means outside? Yes. Yeah, He cares for you. All right? And so whether it's an inside need or outside need, He's already paid for it, and we receive it according to His riches in glory. Who and through? Pastor Tim? No. The church? No. Hey, Jesus Christ. All right? Whatever it is. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I had to ask the pastor's forgiveness at the pastor's advance, okay, that we had in October. I don't even know if they probably remember this, but I had to ask their forgiveness because I had this expectation in me of them to grow our church. And I had to ask their forgiveness. And I told them, I hope you heard it. But I asked their forgiveness at the pastor's advance. I'm not holding you responsible to grow our church. And I think the Lord corrected me on this. And I'm just going to tell you real straight, because I want to be a help to you. You know what? They don't have time. They don't have time to go gather people and bring them in. They've got response abilities. And they're doing well with their response abilities. And they're shepherds. This one's shepherd over praise and worship, and we're growing in that. Thank you, James, Pastor James. This one right here, he shepherds us on Wednesday night, Bible classes, okay, through the Word of God, okay? Thank you, Pastor Don. You do a great job with that. Their part is to shepherd the sheep. Hey, you know what I came to? I had to ask their forgiveness. I was expecting them to grow the church. They don't have time for that. They've just got time to shepherd their response abilities. And you know what it comes down to? This is between me and you. I'm the shepherd. You're the sheep. Sheep reproduce sheep. Now I want to tell you, they're blessed because I'm not holding them responsible to bring families and bring visitors and guests and get them in here. No, no. They have their response abilities. And they're doing good because they work full time. Now, oh, well, okay, Pastor Don's retired. I want to tell you what my dad taught me. My dad taught me this. I don't know how we ever had time to work because we got so much to do now. Okay, so he's a busy guy. Okay, but I'm here to tell you, Pastor Tony, with the children, I'm here to tell you they got their responsibilities. But I want to tell you, sheep reproduce sheep. You and I get to be a part of that. And so we are going to invite people to come. Thank you guys for being here. We're going to invite people to come, and I'm going to use you to connect with them. You invite them over to your house to have some soup. Your table with soup on top of it and fellowshipping and talking about, bragging about Jesus and what Jesus has done in your life is the greatest pulpit. This is not. It's a very effective pulpit. You know what it is? It's called fellowship. It's called loving on each other with Jesus. and you bring people and show them Jesus. Don't brag on the preacher, brag on Jesus. You brag on the preacher, they're going to be disappointed. You brag on Jesus, they're going to be fulfilled. They're going to see Jesus' love in action here. Okay? I'm taking too much time. I want to share. Lean on the Lord. Because the only people that are going to let you down are the ones you lean on. Yeah. Now, I don't mean that bad. Because I lean on people. But make sure the priority that you're trusting in, leaning on, and depending on is Jesus. Okay? And I think that's a very important thing for someone to hear today. All right? Let's let Jesus be the main one we lean on. But we lean on the Lord, we trust in God, and believe, and we put action to our faith, and that's how we praise and thanks. It's a spark plug to your faith. You say, well, my faith's not very strong. Praise and thanksgiving brings us there. It gives us a heaven mindset, a victorious mindset, a love mindset. Helps us to believe the best. Okay? And I'm going to stop. I love you. Let me just minister some grace to you. I know some of the things that were shared today were kind of hard. But you know, Paul said in one place, you know, have I become an enemy because I've ministered straight to you? You know, I want to tell you something. If the Lord's not saying this to you, just be at peace. If the Lord is saying this to you, grab a hold of it. Let the Holy Spirit show you how to apply this. But I'm telling you what, you're to be a lover and a warrior. You're to be a lover of God and a lover of people. And you're to be a warrior against the enemy. Okay? I love our prayer meeting on Tuesday night. We call it the Mountain Movers team, Mountain Movers Club. Because we're all about praying against mountains in other people's lives. For them, like Jesus said, to be cast up and cast into the sea. And I'm just drawing this picture for you. Whatever mountain you're facing right now, understand, by faith, would you look past that mountain right now and see that on the other side of that mountain is some freedom and liberty and blessing that Jesus paid for you to have? Amen. So that's why we want to renounce the mountain. People go to God and beg God, please move the mountain, please move the mountain. God's already done what needed to be done to move the mountain. And he says to us, you speak to the mountain. Instead of speaking to God about the mountain, let's speak to the mountain about God. God says, get up and get out of here. Get off my front porch and go swimming. Be cast into the sea. Because, hey, God desires for me what's on the other side of that mountain. It's keeping me from receiving. Do you see that? I hope you see that, because that's for you. Let me pray for you right now. Father, I thank you so much for your love, your joy, and your peace. And I just speak in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here to minister your power. And I thank you that according to your word, that as we receive the word, we receive your powerful ministry. And I just speak in the name of Jesus for great peace to be touched up and down every aisle, to touch hearts that are seeking you. And I speak, Lord, that the joy of the Lord would just overwhelm people today. I declare in the name of Jesus that your love is falling on us like a precious spring rain. And I just bless these precious saints this morning with the peace of God that passeth all understanding. With the joy of the Lord that's just overflowing in their cup. And I bless them with the love of God. That, Lord, your love will splash over in us and through us and around about us. And I bless that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, by your authority, the authority of your word, I just renounce mountains today. And I'm just asking the saints right now just to name your mountain. And we're going to agree in the name of Jesus. You just whisper it between you and the Lord. It doesn't have to be something loud. But you name your mountain in the name of Jesus. And right now, by the authority of Jesus Christ, we command these mountains to be taken up and cast into the sea. We rebuke them in the name of Jesus. I take authority. I declare they're illegal, liar, and deceiver. And we break their power in the name of Jesus. And we confess the works of the cross, that it is finished. And I declare in the name of Jesus breakthrough for people. I release that overwhelming of your spirit to come upon each one. And I bless them with healing. I bless them with deliverance. We take authority over all fear and anxiety. We renounce all oppression in the name of Jesus. And depression. And we confess that Jesus is Lord. I say in the name of Jesus that He's here and He's in charge. And we release the ministry of Jesus to be effective in the hearts and lives of your people. Thank you, Lord, that you died for us. Thank you that you shed your blood for us that we might be free from the power and the punishment of sin. And so I renounce every condemnation, every curse, every spell in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus this morning, and we claim your victory. Thank you, Lord, that your body was bruised and wounded for our healing. By your stripes, we were healed, and we received the healing of the Lord. We bless the Lord with his covenant. We thank you, Lord, for your covenant. We receive your works, and we bless it in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we just release the power of your faith, that spark plug of faith, thanksgiving and praise, to rest upon your people. And I just declare in the name of Jesus that, Lord, that your faith in us would rise up. I speak fresh hope. I speak in the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, give us fresh vision of where you want us. Show us. We receive what you're saying and what you're doing. And Lord, we receive your strength to practice what you've said in the Word. And we give you praise. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen and amen.